Welcome to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher on Iowa Catholic Radio. Every Wednesday, diving deep in the truth of the Catholic Church and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from the Mercy Live Up Studio.
Sunny Des Moines, Iowa. It's great to see you with us today. We're coming at you at 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM, 1150 AM, and streaming at you live on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. We want to thank our sponsors, Blessman Ministries and People's Abstract Company, for making that a possibility. Bud, how are you doing today?
Doing great. One of my favorite times of year. This is still sort of unseasonably warm outside, but I've noticed all the pumpkin spice products at in the grocery store, so I feel like we're definitively moving towards fall.
I think I accidentally got pumpkin spice gas. I wasn't going to actually try that, but I think even fuel is pumpkin spice this time
of
year.
It's crazy. I would recommend the pumpkin spice hand cream, all sorts of different directions you can take that pumpkin spice wave.
Well, and if it's up to John Leonetti, at some point we're going to get pumpkin spiced Starbucks products, and he will probably give them to us in our sleep. You know, he's a big fan. Speaking of big fans, you know what I'm a big fan of, Bud? Mercy College of Health Sciences here in Des Moines.
Yeah, it's a joy. What we talk about here on the radio show, it's a joy to be able to do that with our students as well. We were talking before the show started today that, you know, you and I may not be able to teach students the different parts of the heart valves or maybe even how to eat well.
Right, but definitely not that.
A great part about Mercy College is in the classroom being able to talk about how to reverence other human beings. As you go about your medical practice, how do you uphold human dignity and show compassion and the love of God to each person that you meet?
So Mercy College of Health Sciences is one of our underwriters. We thank them for making the show possible. And like we said, hey, you love this show, come get a degree, and you can take servant leadership with Bud and I, and it will change your life. We're not saying how, but it will change your life. Well, Bud, what do we got on the show for everybody today?
Today we're talking about justice, and you know, I think this is something that we all thirst for, if I could put it that way. During this election season, you know, we have a lot of these conversations about what does it mean to treat others justly, to build a good and right society. And so this morning, we really want to get into that.
Well, and a lot of what's on the news, all you have to do is watch the news for 15 minutes, and this idea about a thirst for justice, a cry out for justice, very obvious, very telling, and something that I think is easy to misunderstand. Again, maybe one of the things that we try to do with this show is try to get back to basics and tell people what sort of maybe myths or just fundamental misunderstandings mm-hmm. make it difficult for Catholics to understand what the Church teaches about justice. So hopefully, diving deep today, we can talk about justice in the Catholic key and the difference it might make, not only in understanding politics, but even more fundamental, our daily lives.
This is another topic. Last week, we delved into peace. Justice is a word that gets thrown around a lot, and sometimes we might be using it without having a full grasp of the deep riches that both sacred scripture and the Church's tradition tells us about this important topic.
Well, it's going to be great, folks. We want you to stick around. We'll be back in a minute, so come back to The Uncommon Good. And like we said, we'll dive deep into the issue of justice.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for your support of Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Construction Professionals is a family-owned business dedicated to our customers. Whether designing, building, or renovating, we are here to better serve you. Our passion for quality craftsmanship, paired with our dedication to creativity, result in a home that reflects your personality, style, and family function. Construction Professionals. Design. Build. Renovate. CPCustomHomes.com. From our family to yours. God bless.
The College Corner is underwritten by Mercy College of Health Sciences in downtown Des Moines. With a degree from Mercy College, graduates are afforded endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders. You can start the program in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky. Welcome back to The Uncommon Good. We're glad to have you here with us as we talk about justice, and not only all of the aspects of justice, but at fundamentally what we mean when we talk about justice in the Catholic social tradition, and maybe ways that we misunderstand it. I think one primary way we misunderstand this, Bud, is we have like law and order in mind. It's all iced tea and bars slamming or whatnot, or like crime and punishment with Dostoevsky. We have a legal, punitive, or even negative connotation with the word. But what are we leaving out when we talk about justice if that's the only conception we have?
I really like the way that St. Thomas Aquinas really talked about the term justice, talking about giving each their due, giving each person what is due them. And so our search for justice, the way that we enact this in our lives, is really a participation in the divine life. Because, of course, God is justice. God gives each person what is due them, and we're called to imitate or live into the divine life in this way.
So justice isn't something only for certain professions, lawyers, politicians, police officers. It's not only for certain type of people. This is something that governs all the way down. God himself, like you said, is justice, but also dispenses justice. But then we are just towards our family members, our friends, but even other creatures, creation itself, inanimate objects, justice all the way down. And for Thomas, he breaks down justice into four ways we principally talk about it. And maybe if we talk about this, it will shed some light on things. Legal justice, I think we don't really need to dwell too much on, because people, that's their primary way of thinking of it. But three others I think we can talk about and really shed some light on things. There's commutative justice, distributive justice, and maybe the most misunderstood of all, social justice.
So that first one that you mentioned, commutative justice, this is really the virtue that regulates actions between different individuals in a society. And when we talk about this first one, commutative justice, what we generally have in mind is sort of trade, or the way that people exchange. I'll use the word products. That's probably not perfect. But so commutative justice would govern something like what's a fair or a just price for something that people need to buy.
Right, and this can actually fluctuate depending on the time and place, whether something's a luxury or not. You know, if you're selling bottled water, largely what price you can charge is what people are willing to buy, pay for it, except in an emergency when all of a sudden they can't get water out of their taps, and then it becomes mortally sinful, for instance, to price gouge, like during a flood when people can't get water otherwise.
Yep.
I think that another way to think about this is contracts. And I know that that maybe sounds like not all that wonderful, right? Like we're saying, oh, justice is a matter of contracts. But that's actually more a condemnation of us, that we don't take contracts seriously. All you have to do is look at the Old Testament and see that God himself made a contract with the people of Israel. So the fact that, you know, let's say coaches, let's not name any particular, but imagine one that's called Sick Naban or something like that. We'll just leave at the drop of a hat to go coach somewhere else, or the fact that we'll drop phone contracts at a drop of a hat. That's not because contracts are something silly and low. That's because we have sort of lost the sacredness of commutative justice.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that justice is a participation in the divine life. You talk about God cutting covenants or making covenants with God's people. When we honor our word, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It is a sort of covenant. And obviously, some are more important than others. Some, like a marriage covenant, are sacraments. But this commutative justice is sort of the foundation of truth-telling or honesty, integrity among human beings.
That's why swearing was so bad. I know we sometimes think swearing is saying naughty words, but in the ancient medieval times, it was literally if you swore to do something and did not do it. This was a foundational sin because it sort of struck at the very spine of all of human community being able to work. So, yes, like marriage contract, perhaps that doesn't sound as sexy or glamorous as other ways we put marriage. But at the root, to say that marriage is a contract, that the very basic unity of human life, the family started in the marriage between a man and a woman, is a contract, is to say that it is a vow and it is a telling of truth. Go ahead.
I was going to say it sort of gives us the space to learn what love is, because we commit over time. We honor that covenant that's made, and then grow into the love that God's prepared for us through that sacrament. But you mentioned these four different kinds. So that's commutative. Moving next to that, distributive justice, what does the church tradition have in mind when we talk about distributive justice?
So this is the virtue that regulates actions when you have an individual member claiming some right within a society. Another way to put this is it regards, maybe the best way to think about this is shared resources that we use individually but hold in common. And
pumpkin
again,
spice products.
Yeah, pumpkin.
Water.
Yeah. Pumpkin spice products. Are we using too much? Justice. No. So water, you know, we talk about bottled water, but now let's think about like a water reservoir, right?
Yeah.
You and I take our own individual drinks of water, but it's a resource that if either one of us were to abuse it or poison it or anything like this, we would in common have an injustice committed, or that I would commit an injustice against the entire group by doing something to this. So distributive justice, I think a lot of times when people think about social teaching, they're really talking about distributive justice and what we hold in common.
And that's a conversation worth having. You know, I think sometimes with these topics, we think, well, that's left to a certain part of the society. I have in mind when you bring up water, like the EPA or something. But these are resources that are for the good of the whole. And so insofar as Catholics can contribute to those discussions, I think we have something vital and important to bring to the table.
If I was going to actually, you know, have, you know, hashtag shots fired today on the show, I would say you paying attention to your local water table might be more vitally important politically in a matter of justice than some of the national elections that you participate in. I know not everybody agrees with this, but I think it's almost sad how few of us know, for instance, where common resources like water or electricity and how they're divvied up come from on a local level, and so to speak, like sloughing it off to someone else, like you said.
I don't want to downplay necessarily the importance of voting, but I like the point that you make there, and that sometimes I think the way that our elections are structured, they can sort of distract us from important conversations to have. You know, that the election conversations can move in a certain direction, and there's these other elements of justice that are just vital that we, like you're saying, that we contribute to and think about.
And, of course, what consists of distributive justice can change. Again, like water and food, these are basic things. But even something like electricity, you know, if you were thinking about when Edison and Tesla were first inventing this stuff, electricity wouldn't really be a matter of distributive justice. It would largely be a luxury some people had. But if you think about nowadays, people get clean water because of electricity. They cook. They provide heat. So then even then we can start to talk about electricity being a matter of distributive justice and how we deal with that, especially for people who are impoverished or something.
I would not want to see how long you or I could necessarily survive without electricity. It wouldn't be a pretty picture, I don't think.
Yeah, I think like I didn't have hot water for 2 days when I first moved up here to Iowa, and I thought it was all over, bud.
Yeah, folks at the college were mistaking him for someone else. It wasn't.
Well, so the final one that we want to talk today, as far as like this breaking justice down into parts, is the word social justice. And I would have to say, if any of them are misunderstood, social justice has to be it.
Yeah, it's used the most, but as you point out, very often misunderstood. What do we have in mind here, Bo, when we talk about social justice?
So social justice is hard to really get into a nutshell. So I'm actually going to quote real quick one of my heroes, Russell Hittinger, down at University of Tulsa. He says, for Pius XI and Pope Pius XI really brings up this term about social justice. Social justice is that kind of order that ensues when each person is capacitated to contribute to the common good according to his proper office and role or function. Social justice is the virtue whereby all persons, not just the state, refer the ensemble of their relationships to the common good. Now, that is a really wordy way to say social justice pertains to things we share in common towards the common good that cannot be shared or enjoyed individually. So the one that that I like to bring up that plays a very big role in our political life is the notion of political union. If you recall, in the Civil War, the American Civil War, certainly the war was fought over the question of slavery, but it was also fought over this notion of the Union. Mm-hmm. Now, the Union, if it's not to be just some fiction, it has to be something that citizens of the United States either all share in common or none of us do. We can't have it piecemeal. And the same thing comes when we think about a lot of the issues brought up with the Bill of Rights. It's not something that like, okay, yeah, we all have a water reservoir that we enjoy, but I drink my own water. We either all have political union or we don't. We either all have certain rights or we don't. Social justice, I think, then is hard to sometimes understand because it's at that level where there's things that are so important mm-hmm. to our ability to be a community that it's hard to break into pieces and talk about.
So in this regard, justice is not merely about equality or egalitarianism, right? Giving everyone just the same slice of the pie. All this has to be ordered into the common good. So in this regard, Bo, different folks deserve different aspects or parts of what we hold in common. And you can see this in Catholic social teaching in terms of how we treat or relate to the weak, right?
Right. And you know, if all justice was we had a pie and we cut it into 12 equal pieces
equal squares,
and we gave it
yeah.
to everyone, or that we even like came up with something like, you know, oh, Bo deserves more pie because he weighs more than everyone in the room. I might like that, but that doesn't mean it's justice. For instance, Bo should receive a smaller portion of the pie if any of you are caring about me. The easiest way to think about this is children.
Mm-hmm.
Children actually take up the bulk of most of the resources we have, and we give to them. And you would think that maybe this is an injustice that, like, you know, these kids that don't, you know, I don't know about your kids, Bud, but mine are not.
They're perfectly behaved.
No, mine are not contributing to the economy at all. They are a net drag at this point.
Get them in order. Put them to work.
That's right. Now, but we think all the resources that we give to them is done injustice. Now, why is this the case? Well, part of it, it's like you said, they're weaker. And in the Christian understanding of the common good, the weak have a special place. The strong have a special responsibility towards them. And I know we always think about this economically, but again, I want you to think about this in familiar relationships.
Yeah.
The weaker the child is, the more we're willing to do for it. When the child grows up, we want them to do their part precisely because they are growing into their sort of strength.
So we show this special deference to children, but you could also look at this from a different angle and say, justice wouldn't be giving children everything that they want either. So children, in a special way, have a sort of justice that they owe to their parents. Sacred Scripture says, honor your father and mother. This is a form of justice for children. Honor given to the parent, I hope my children are listening, is what is due the parent as the authority that's been placed over them by God. So this kind of, you can see how this begins to work in different directions. And like we're saying, it's not this kind of flattened out equality.
Right. And, you know, the honor your mother and your father is not some platitude. It has ramifications throughout your whole life. When you're and notice that justice changes over time. When you're young, you should follow what your mom and dad say because God has ordained parents to give order to a child's life that they couldn't give themselves. But when they get old, your parents get old, and now you're the ones who are in strength and have, you know, the power to help them. It's now your responsibility to make sure that in their old days they are respected, they're cared for, and things like that.
Yeah. One of our favorite writers, G.K. Chesterton, he brings this up in relation to the saints and into tradition. And I love this. In the Catholic faith, you know, we make, this probably is putting it lightly, we make a big deal about the saints, and we've been talking on this show about tradition. For Chesterton, this was justice given towards the dead, what's due the dead. And so, let's see, he put it this way. Tradition means giving votes to the most obscure of all classes, our ancestors. It is the democracy of the dead. Tradition refuses to submit to the small and arrogant oligarchy of those who merely happen to be walking about. And so honoring tradition is a form of justice, a practice of justice, right, Bo?
Yeah, so, you know, I love Chesterton always puts things better than ever I could conceive of. But yeah, there will always be more dead people than ever anybody living at the current moment. That doesn't mean we're beholden woodenly to what has gone on to the past, but it means that if we're going to show true reverence to those who came before us, the weakest, like Flannery O'Connor points out, you can't be poorer than dead because you're not around to defend yourself, that we give reverence to the dead. Another place where this justice shows up that most people don't think about is in religion itself. Worship is an act of justice. I know you don't think about this, friends, but worship is something that is due to God. It's not simply a matter of aesthetics, psychological fulfillment, mysticism, although all three of those are important, but the act of religion, worship, we do because God deserves it.
The same thing operates with evangelism, so spreading the gospel, preaching the good news. This is the last command that Jesus gave his followers. This is a matter of justice. Our Lord, in a sense, deserves worshipers. Like you're saying, worship is what's due God. And so when we tell others the good news, it's not simply fulfilling the command that Christ gave us, but again, it's leaning into our living out this justice that we're called to practice.
And the best examples of this are the martyrs. The justice that the martyrs give out of love for God, give a perfect worship, their oblation of themselves, to dwell as members of the heavenly city and intervene for us here on earth. One of the people I love to talk about, people will get a taste of him later in the show, is the martyrdom of St. Polycarp. First of all, awesome name, but don't name your kid that. I tried. Here, I'll read you his quote, and then you tell me what you think. 86 years I have served him, and he never did me any injury. Speaking of Jesus, yeah. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? He said this as the Romans were trying to get this old man to sacrifice to the emperor, and out of justice, he said no.
The book of Hebrews says that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and the martyrs, today specifically Polycarp, are just powerful examples of this. Worship is what we're due God. Polycarp gave his life. He was an elderly man, and the government was coercing him, trying to force him. Just burn incense to the emperor. What's the big deal? And Polycarp persevered to the end by the grace of God.
So all of the martyrs serve as a witness to this foundational justice of the heavenly city, of Jesus Christ himself, of the Trinity, that when everybody gives each their due, when we give our lives to God because God gave us life itself, and then in the order of redemption gave his life to save us, what less can we do, bud, than to be martyrs? And even if maybe you and I aren't going to burn incense to an emperor in our daily lives, we still have a way that we can give ourselves, give up our lives to others for the sake of God.
Yeah, today as we've been talking, I've been thinking about this as almost concentric circles. You've brought up the family, you've brought up church life, and then heroic martyrdom. This can start with daily sacrifice, with little sacrifices, and through that kind of practice or habit of faithfulness, we come to the point where hopefully, if called to, we could imitate someone like Polycarp.
Well, I think we really have hopefully covered a lot of what we're trying to get at in the terms of justice. When we get back from the break, we'll have our reoccurring segment, Great Moments in Church History, where maybe we'll illustrate this even more powerfully for folks.
Yeah, stick around.
Looking for a family doctor? Vitae Family Cares physician Greg McKernan, a DO, has practiced for 27 years seeing patients of all ages. Vitae is Latin for life, and as a pro-life physician, Dr. McKernan is certified in NAPRO technology. Located at 50th and I-235 in West Des Moines, VitaeFamilyCare.com.
Are you ready? Christ Our Life Catholic Conference returns for the fourth time, September 24th and 25th. Share the excitement as we welcome a world-class array of speakers and musicians. Celebrate Mass and join together to praise God in Wells Fargo Arena. 10,000 are expected. Be one of them and bring your family and friends. Go to ChristOurLifeIowa.com for tickets and information. Let's believe, live, and celebrate our faith.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for supporting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. 515-225-6742. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Welcome back to The Uncommon Good. Bud, we look through the archives of church history, and lo and behold, we just find these wonderful artifacts for folks.
Yeah, it is football season, so we're all in the mood, and I love diving into church history, so we've got another Great Moments in Church History for you this morning.
And now, Great Moments in Church History. The year, 156 AD. The place, the Roman Empire. A man with a fishy name, St. Polycarp, was about to show the Roman Empire the stuff he was made of.
A lot of commentators said he's past his prime, Kent, but this savvy veteran from Smyrna brought his A-game today.
The Romans threw at him the old burning incense to the emperor trick play to try and get him to turn on his savior, but Polycarp just wouldn't have it.
Polycarp's not only refusing the incense, Joe, he's running a reverse and pledging allegiance to Christ with his dying breath.
86 years he had served the Lord, and that day would be no different.
They are setting him on fire, Kent, but he won't burn! He won't burn! The place smells like bread! They're resorting to stabbing him, Kent, and he's being vindicated by the Father. We'll see you in the eschaton!
Polycarp may have died that day, but the Romans went on to lose the series,
Why Polycarp intervenes for the church militant from heaven. This has been Great Moments in Church History.
Man, so realistic, bud. I mean, I'm sure that's how announcements sounded in the second century AD.
When I was listening to that, it made me want to go out and buy like I'm thinking of prayer cards now as almost the football cards we used to collect.
Like Tops?
Yeah.
Oh my, yeah, we can put
with a little piece of gum.
Yeah, horrible bubble gum in it. Yeah. Oh, I think, and I was actually thinking as this is going on, like it would be so great to see a jersey with the word Polycarp on the back.
That might throw your friends off at your next tailgate if you get your Polycarp number 24, so.
Number 86. That's sorry. Right, yeah. Well, so the last thing I think to wrap everything up, bud, because I think people might ask, well, if justice is so important, we've also heard mercy is important. It's the year of mercy. Yeah. And even in some ways, people make it sound like mercy and trumps justice or goes against it. What will we say to people about how mercy and justice work together in the Catholic social teaching?
Yeah, it might seem like on the surface that these two are opposed, and some parts of the Bible seem to say so, but actually they go hand in hand. So mercy, you were pointing this out to me earlier, is a fuller realization of justice, really.
Right. If you can imagine someone who's just getting someone out of something isn't being merciful. Like if a mobster pays off a judge so that his goons don't go to jail because he wants like them to go rob banks later, that's not mercy. That's not what
excusing
God does.
Excusing that debt wouldn't be merciful.
Right. Excusing that debt would not be merciful. But if a debtor, like if you owed me money, which would never happen, Bud, because I never have any, but if you owed it to me and I didn't make you pay it, I would be merciful because my hope would be for a more just end. I'm not going to make you pay the fullness of your debt because I actually want you to have some fuller life on the other side. Mercy and justice have to meet together in order for mercy to be mercy.
And I think this is why our Lord commands us, be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. So we've all been forgiven so much, and to try to put limits around that, you know, St. Peter asked our Lord, how many times should we forgive? 7 times 7. And Christ basically said, show mercy to everyone you meet, just as God has shown mercy to you while you were still lost in sin.
So when we think about justice in our daily life, to be merciful is to be just in our daily life. It might seem like what we're saying is go out and, you know, respect my authority and stuff like this, but this is not what we're saying. The key way Christians show justice in this life is mercy, because what is due sinners is mercy, not by our own command, but by the command of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And if Jesus has done what he said he has done, if he has died on the cross for us and is resurrected, then you know what is due the rest of the world, friends? Mercy. Mercy is justice.
Yeah, so this is the year of mercy, a great opportunity, a reminder to us all to practice justice.
Well, friends, it's been great talking to you about this wonderful topic, Catholic social teaching, justice. And, you know, we ask you, be just to everyone that you meet. So we're going to see you again next Wednesday. Thank you for allowing us to be here every Wednesday, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. May the peace of Christ be with all of you, and may it reign in your hearts. God bless you, and may Jesus Christ, the peace, Prince of Peace, bless all that you do. Thank you.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr is heard Wednesdays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and on the official Iowa Catholic Radio app.